What a week it had been for the disciples. Everything happened so fast. One minute, a crowd cheered Jesus as a hero when he entered Jerusalem. And a few days later, he was arrested, tortured and crucified. The disciples must have been shell-shocked. They'd been taken to the heights of joy and expectancy only to have their hopes crushed with Jesus' crucifixion. No wonder they gathered behind locked doors. They were afraid they were next. Their faith was severely dented when Jesus was killed so unjustly. It's little wonder they doubted the news of Jesus' resurrection. And what a day it had been. It began with Mary. She'd gone to the tomb early in the morning and found it empty. Peter and one of the disciples went racing to the garden and confirmed what Mary had said. Later, Mary came and told them that she'd spoken with Jesus. Imagine her excitement as she tried to share the news that she'd spoken to Jesus with these disciples. Although Mary delivered her amazing news, I think I can understand the difficulty the disciples might have had in believing it. 3 days earlier, their Lord had been crucified. He was buried. How could she have seen him? It seemed impossible. And John's gospel said that the disciples' first response to the story was simply to dismiss it. Mary was so caught up in grief, she was seeing things. It was nonsense. That very evening, the disciples gathered again, once more behind locked doors, not knowing what to think. And in the midst of their confusion, Jesus came and stood among them. His words for the disciples are words for us here and now, in this place today. Peace be with you. That was it. No long explanation, just peace be with you. Just when things seemed hopeless, Jesus is there. Just when things seemed impossible, Jesus can help. When Jesus came to these broken disciples, their faith was so weak and their hopes dashed that he came to heal them of their weakness. He healed their broken spirits, restored their faith. Jesus transformed these disciples completely. You know, after Jesus' death, just about everything in the disciples' life was in tatters. They had nothing. 3 years earlier, Jesus had said, "Leave your nets, leave your tax collecting, follow me. Come and follow me." And they did. They left behind everything. Now, with Jesus gone, they had nothing. What was their future now? Their leader was gone. And what's worse, they may be identified as one of his followers. They may end up with the same fate as him. Their faith was shaken because they trusted Jesus, believed in him. And when he was nailed to that cross, well, maybe he was just like us. Maybe he was just another man with a tall story. Their trust in God, everything they believed and lived for, had died with Jesus. These broken disciples needed healed, needed put back together, needed restored. And just when they'd given up hope, here was Jesus standing among them, alive as you and I. He was there to give them strength and healing, to give them a faith stronger than before. And then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And these fearful disciples hiding behind locked doors became powerful warriors. Many of them died martyrs' deaths. Many of them were crucified. Many have ended their lives in the Colosseum or the lion pits of Rome. From fearful people to fearless martyrs. confident in Christ even when facing death. What a transformation. But that night, behind locked doors, all the world were fearful until Jesus came. So we can understand how Thomas must have felt. I'll be honest, of all the disciples, I can get Thomas. These wee doubts that come into your mind. Usually come into my mind around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Are you sure, Mike? Are you sure? Do they like me? Do they approve of me? Lord, where's my faith? I get doubting Thomas. He hadn't been there at the first gathering. He'd missed out. For him, darkness was still around him. Life was hopeless. His hope had died with Jesus, just as the same as the other disciples. And his future wasn't it was still unsure. He hadn't encountered the risen Christ. He was still filled with doubt. And a week later, Jesus came and stood before Thomas. Now, Thomas had already said to the other disciples, he's not alive. You're joking. You're at it. Listen, unless I see for myself, I will not believe. Unless I can feel the marks of the nails in his hand, touch the wound in his side, I'm not going to believe it. Dead men don't walk. You can sense Thomas's misery, his grief, his separation. All the other disciples are rejoicing. We've seen our Savior. We've seen the Lord. You can't have. He's dead. They're rejoicing. They're in a different place. Thomas is still at day one. Still in pain. And I expect many of us can understand that, because perhaps you've felt it yourself. You've trusted, you've been hurt. You've loved and lost. We've reached out in reconciliation only to be rejected. It's an everyday story. We've been where Thomas has been, hurt and afraid to trust again. We can understand Thomas, that he'll be slow to believe and reluctant to trust. Thomas must see for himself. He's nobody's fool. You saw Jesus. Yeah. You'd be telling me that the tooth fairy left 2 denarii under your pillow next. Nonsense. We saw him die. We saw his burial tomb. Thomas must see. You know, life can be cruel. Our experiences can cause us to mistrust and disbelieve anything that's not tried and tested. I know of some people who've had so many bad experiences in their life that that's all their expectation is. Disappointment. Might be better. Never has been in the past. Don't come to me with your cozy homilies. It's going to be rubbish, the same as it's always been. You may know people like that. You know, I feel so sorry for folk in that situation because, well, it's not really life at all, is it? You've been so hurt and let down that that's all your expectation is. They never expect the excitement of a pleasant surprise. Never know the peace that comes with knowing that God is with us. You know, when doubt dominates our lives, that's precisely what we lose. Peace with God and peace with ourselves. Thomas knew what it was like to live without peace. He'd experienced it for that whole week. And that's what this gospel reading is about this morning. A week of darkness. A week without hope. A week spent without Jesus. You know, when Thomas refused to believe, it wasn't just the other disciples' word they doubted. It was life itself that he rejected. Life itself. It was a rejection of hope, a refusal to believe that life can have meaning. The story of Thomas shows us that there's no hope without the resurrection of Jesus. None. All we have is somebody who died on a cross. Without the resurrection, There is no Jesus. There is no Son of God. There is no Savior and Lord. There is no way to make sense of our earthly existence without God. But then that shouldn't surprise us. The gospel writer John wrote, "He who believes in the risen Christ has life, and he who does not believe is dead already." He who does not believe is dead already. That's what John said. When we allow doubt to dominate our lives, when we close ourselves off to the possibilities that God has for us, we effectively stop living. And we're in need of our own resurrection. But thankfully, doubt need not lead to death or a complete loss of faith. Because that's what Thomas is about as well. Listen to what Jesus said to Thomas when he appeared to him. We heard it read, verse 26. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt and believe." And Thomas believed. Thomas fell to his knees, "My Lord and my God." He experienced his own resurrection from the darkness of that week. There's help for us when we find ourselves in doubt. When the world seems to collapse in upon us, all our props are knocked away. Take Thomas as an example. He made the mistake we often make, that I often make. I often think I can do it in my own strength. I can make it on my own. Until I can't. Devastated by the death of Jesus, he separated himself from the disciples. I do the same. When I'm having a hard time, I go away and sit on my own. Poor Mary, because often she just can't touch me. I'm trying to work it out myself. A waste of time that is. You know, I live with a prayer partner. How stupid. But I fall for it every time. Just like Thomas. He needed time and space to work out his loss. He sought solitude in his pain and thought he could only trust in himself. But we can see that his doubts came from being absent from his disciples. Being separate and alone when Jesus appeared to the other disciples after his resurrection. Thomas's doubts were answered in the presence of the other disciples, in community. And I think that's one of the main things that Christianity is about. It's about a people together, supporting each other, a body, each part doing its part, supporting the other parts. It was only in the fellowship of believers and only through the body of Christ that Thomas found assurance that he so desperately sought and needed. Put your finger here. Reach out your hand and touch me in my side. Stop doubting and believe. You know, when doubt dominates our lives, when doubt draws us apart from the church, then doubt is damaging. But when doubt leads us to look deeper for God, searching for his wisdom and goodness, reaching out to our brothers and brother or sister in Christ, then doubt can be such a blessing, just as it was for Thomas. For in the midst of doubt, Jesus is there. Jesus is there. Even when things seem darkest, a light shines. Because Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." I'm not pretending it's jelly and ice cream every day. I'm not saying that's what Christianity is about at all. Because in Thomas, we have permission to be in that dark place for a while. We have permission to struggle. we have permission to cry. I don't think it's God's design, or certainly not Jesus' purpose, that we stay there. But we're allowed, providing we reach out. Providing after a while we reach out. With doubts and questionings clouding our vision, when troubles and difficulties close our eyes to the goodness of God, we need to move closer to our Saviour. We need to draw more deeply into worship, spending more time reading and praying, and reach out more strongly to our sister and brothers in the faith. Mature faith, a faith that serves us for a lifetime, is not a faith that has never experienced doubts. In some of our hymns, our choruses, we sing about the refiner's fire. When we're going through these dark places, that's our refining. A mature faith is not a faith that's never experienced doubts. Rather, it's a faith that constantly searches and seeks. A mature faith is always on lookout for Jesus. A faith that trusts, even when the worst can happen. We'll discover in the middle of that catastrophe, there are others standing by us, and there is Jesus. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. Do not doubt but believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And that's his promise to us. Peace be with you. Do not doubt but believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. In Jesus' name, amen.